Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
An unnamed friend of mine who is a professor, who's not a Trump person, sent me a note and said, Oprah is me and my face anytime a student in class is saying something dumb and I'm trying to think of ways to reframe it so it doesn't sound ridiculous and they aren't embarrassed. That's from my friend who does not like Donald Trump, but is a professor. See that? See, I do have friends. I've got lots of friends who, you know, not everybody agrees with me. That's okay. It's all right. See? Because we should all be able to be friends with each other, even if we disagree politically. Our side typically is okay with that. It's the left that usually isn't. They're the ones who wind up screaming and yelling and trying to kill people. But, you know, that's for another show. The point is that what happened last night with Kamala Harris was so bad. As you know, before I got into radio, I was in politics. I was a political consultant, and I still every now and then dabble in political consulting. It's not my full-time job. This is my full-time job. And yes, it's a Friday. This is not an animatronic. This is not a hologram. This is me. It's live. It's Friday. I'm even in studio today, too. The reason for that is because Jack Carr is coming on later, and we are going to attempt to stream with him on YouTube, because we're streaming live on YouTube right now, so you can watch it. I have worked with candidates over the years, and I've worked with some very bad candidates over the years. There are bad candidates. Kamala Harris is a bad candidate. What do I mean by that? She has no real ideas. She's an empty, empty vessel. And so when you're working with somebody like that, you have to have them literally memorize lines. You have to approach it like you're dealing with an actor. You have to approach it like it's a theater, like it's a play. That interview last night on Oprah was watching a play. It was watching an actress, a bad one, going out there and reciting lines. And man, when I was watching this last night, I thought, she does not have her lines down. And so I tweeted, Kamala, you had one job, and that was to memorize your lines. And she didn't do that. And so she goes out on Oprah and she says, she tosses all these word salads at us. I mean, bad salads, salads with chickpeas on them and oof, hideous things like radishes on them, bad salads. And she tries and stumbles through this and it's not good. It's just painful. By the way, the acting United States Secret Service director said people will be held accountable, but he also said he's not making anybody retire. I don't believe anyone's going to be held accountable for what happened in Butler, PA. We'll talk about it with Congressman Dan Muser a little bit later in the show today. He's going to join me, Pennsylvania Congressman. We'll talk to him at 3:30 about this. But the Secret Service director came out and said they needed clearer direction on securing the roof. That's what he said. And he admits that his agency, the United States Secret Service, his agency did not properly coordinate with the local officials on the ground regarding that roof, and that when the call went out that there was a shooter on the roof, it did not go over the Secret Service radio network. I kid you not. Unbelievable that this could occur in the United States of America in the year 2024. And then the Secret Service director tells us that he has presidential level protection now, the same level of protection that the president of the United States has, yet they did not secure the perimeter at the golf course at Palm Beach, where the president was playing golf, the future president was playing golf. There's something wrong in the Secret Service. There's a rot in the Secret Service. And I am not going to rule out the idea that somebody on the inside wants to see Donald Trump dead, because it's entirely possible. I mean, it really is. It's entirely possible that there's a mole inside the Secret Service. You know, I read a story the other day. It's a fascinating story about these families, the children of Russian spies who lived in America. And I don't think the Russians are behind this, by the way. I think they definitely want Kamala Harris to win. I don't believe the Russians are behind this. But the story I read was, if you ever saw the show The Americans, which was a fantastic show back in the day, it was on FX. And it was great. It was about this American couple. Well, they're Russian spies, but they're living in the suburban D.C., they're raising their kids and the whole time. And they're living next door. Their next door neighbor's an FBI agent. And it's a great show, The Americans. But that's real, though. They had all these Russians who were in the United States of America as spies, and they raised kids. And so there was a story the other day that I read about all these kids now who find out their parents are Russian spies. And these kids think that they're raised by Americans, and they think they're American kids, and they're going to American schools and everything. And all of a sudden, it turns out, wow, your parents are Russian spies, and now they're leaving, or they're going to prison, or they're being sent back to Russia. And these kids are now teenagers, and they're going, whoa. In some cases, some of the kids are in their 20s now, because this was a big deal. They did this a lot in the 80s and the 90s. And then so some of the kids are even older. But I'm just saying it's entirely possible that there could be a mole within the Secret Service trying to kill Donald Trump, who's maybe a foreign actor, maybe just a domestic actor. But there are still too many questions regarding what happened in Butler, PA that were not answered today. And in my opinion, I think these excuses are just absolutely mind-boggling. Let me play you a clip here. So this is the acting director, Roe, saying that the Secret Service did not give clear guidance or direction to local law enforcement partners. There were communication deficiencies. How does that happen? You got the state police there, you got the Butler PD, you got the county sheriff, you got the United States Secret Service. They're all there working, trying to keep the president, future president, safe. But they don't have proper communication? How does that occur? Cut 27.
The Secret Service did not give clear guidance or direction to our local law enforcement partners. There were communication deficiencies between law enforcement personnel at the site. For example, the Secret Service did not co-locate its security room with local law enforcement. There was an over-reliance on mobile devices, resulting in information being siloed. For example, at approximately 18:10 local time, Secret Service informed personnel that local police were addressing an issue at the 3 o'clock of the outer perimeter. At approximately 18:10 local time, via phone call, the Secret Service security room calls the counter-sniper response agent reporting an individual on the roof of the AGR building. That vital piece of information was not relayed over the Secret Service radio network.
That vital piece of information was not relayed over the Secret Service radio network. Are you kidding me? How does that occur? How does that happen in the United States of America in the year 2024? Are people going to be held accountable is the question. He has not asked anybody to retire. So nobody is going to be held accountable. He began the press conference by saying that people were going to be held accountable, but then he winds up going on to say that he hasn't asked anybody to retire. So wait, let's start there. Why don't we back up here? So cut 26. So he holds his press conference today, and he says that people will be held accountable. All right, so let's take a listen. It's a little bit long, but I think it's worth hearing here. Cut 26.
So in today's hyper-dynamic threat environment, the mission of the Secret Service is clear. We cannot afford to fail. After reviewing the planning, event details, and coordination with partner agencies regarding the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump on July 13th, our mission assurance review is nearing its completion. As I've said, this was a failure on the part of the United States Secret Service. It's important that we hold ourselves accountable for the failures of July 13th, and that we use the lessons learned to make sure that we do not have another failure like this again. The findings of the Mission Assurance Review have prompted the Secret Service to move into the accountability phase of this process. The Office of Professional Responsibility and the Office of Integrity are reviewing the findings. And as a result of these failures, what has become clear to me is we need a shift in paradigm and how we conduct our protective operations.
Let's stop it right there. This happened in the summer. We're still figuring this out. We're still investigating this. We're still trying to come up with answers. Are you kidding me? How long is the bureaucracy? Let me tell you a couple things about the bureaucracy. First of all, the bureaucracy will always protect itself. Bureaucrats will always protect bureaucrats. That's number one. Number two is that bureaucrats are never held accountable, ever. They're never held accountable for anything. So they just keep delaying and delaying and delaying, and they just do this until eventually everybody just forgets. They just forget. They go, oh, well, I guess, you know, and then by that point, nobody gets in trouble. This is what they do. Nobody's going to be held accountable for this. There were critical failures, critical failures. Nobody's going to be held accountable for it. Let's keep going.
Demonstrated on Sunday in West Palm Beach, the threat level is evolving and requires this paradigm shift. But here are some of the findings from this mission assurance review. With respect to command and control of the site in Butler, Pennsylvania, the Secret Service has the main responsibility of building the site plan. We cannot abdicate or defer our responsibilities to others. Advanced team personnel have an obligation to ensure that each site meets the protective requirements and principles of Secret Service methodology.
Stop it. We just had a couple days ago a guy sticking the muzzle of a gun through the bushes at the golf course where the president was playing golf. You hear this guy? He's going on about what the Secret Service has to do. He's acting like this is brand new, like this is what, like the 1860s, and they just, president got whacked, and now they're figuring out what they need to do going forward. Well, from now on, we're going to secure the theater, and we're going to, this is the year 2024. And we're listening to him talk about how the Secret Service has a responsibility to secure the perimeter? Really? No kidding. So you mean to make sure that a guy doesn't climb on a roof with a gun? And then it fires a shot that hits and almost kills the former president of the United States of America? You mean like that? Or that a guy isn't able to spend 12 hours in the bushes at a golf course and then stick a gun through the trees and almost kill the former president? You like that? Secure that perimeter? I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. As he goes on about the mission statement, you know what it's like? You listen to, if you're in corporate America and you know what I'm talking about, you listen to these boring executives talk about what the mission statement is, and you go, none of this, we don't really do any of this. Like, here are our core values, blah, 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 blah. And you go, we don't do any of that. We don't, that doesn't happen here. But they do it anyway, and they do the annual, you know, these are our values. We all should be living by. You're like, uh-huh. That's what this sounds like to me. It's a bad HR retreat. All right, keep going.
The Secret Service did not give clear guidance or direction to our local law enforcement partners. There were communication deficiencies between law enforcement personnel at the site. For example, the Secret Service did not co-locate its security room with local law enforcement. There was an over-reliance on mobile devices, resulting in information being siloed. For example, at approximately 18:10 local time, Secret Service informed personnel that local police were addressing an issue at the 3:00 of the outer perimeter. At approximately 18:10 local time, via phone call, the Secret Service security room calls the counter-sniper response agent reporting an individual on the roof of the AGR building. That vital piece of information was not relayed over the Secret Service radio network.
So stop it there. I know we played that earlier, but I wanted you to hear it again. A phone call? I thought they have these little earpieces in where they can just talk to each other all the time. I mean, in every movie I see, they just, you know, and they go, they're gone. I mean, I saw In the Line of Fire. That movie was made in 1993. Great movie, by the way. Clint Eastwood, John Malkovich, and Rene Russo. Just saying. And, you know, it's gone. I mean, what? Everybody knows that that's how the Secret Service operate. What, they call a guy? They pick up the phone. Yeah. Hey, what's up? There's a sniper on the roof. Like, ring, ring? Is that a phone call? A phone call was relayed. It's remarkable to me how Bumble F, Keystone Cop-ish this whole operation sounds like in Butler, PA that day. You have all these fancy earpieces and fancy little, you know, in the... And then the guy's got to make a phone call to the counter sniper... What? It's honestly a miracle that Trump is alive today. It really is. It's a miracle. It is a miracle that he's alive today. And what I still don't understand is how the guy was able to get a shot off. And the answer to that is because it was such a delay in getting the counter sniper team to take the guy out. But by that time, the guy had already fired. So they, if I'm understanding this correctly, they knew he was there before he pulled the trigger. But by the time they got the information to the counter-sniper team, he had pulled the trigger. That's amazing. It's a miracle Trump's alive. It really is. It's a miracle. Had he not turned his head at that precise moment, he would be dead. And you listen to this and you go to your, you say to yourself, okay, so there were communication deficiencies between law enforcement and, okay. So then how the hell is it that you had to call the counter sniper team? You don't have the ability to just go, guy on the roof, take him out, like on your little walkie thingies, earpiece thingies. I don't understand that. That makes no sense. None of this makes sense. They said they had a local drone flying overhead hours before, but the drone never picked up the alleged shooter. And you know the alleged shooter, and well, I mean, I'd say alleged, but he's dead, but his body is gone. You know, it's gone, right? I mean, you know that. The body's been destroyed. It's gone. There was no toxicology report. Did you know all this? Gone. I couldn't believe it. They cremated him, and there's no toxicology report. So there's no ability for anyone to be able to even know if the shooter was on something, like if he was a Manchurian candidate, if he was programmed or he was nothing. We have no idea. They didn't do a toxicology report on him. Think about that. How is that possible? Guy gets on a roof and almost kills the former and future president of the United States of America. You don't do a tox screen on the guy to try to figure out if the guy maybe is under the influence of something. I have to say that if there ever was a plot to kill a president, that's what you do, right? You would have somebody on that roof. That somebody knows they're not making it out alive, but there's no way to trace that guy back to anybody else, because to this point, we know that the shooter, Thomas Crooks, we know that he had these international phones. We know that he had international communications. We know he was in a BlackRock video. We know all these things, but that's all we know about him. They say we don't know the motive. If this shooter was connected to somebody, all the evidence connecting him to anybody else seems to be gone. There's like no internet history of the kid. Like he didn't exist. Like he's a total ghost. Very bizarre. Very bizarre. And this communication delay between when they're able to notify the sniper team to take the guy out, and then the guy still has time to take a shot. So, all right, we got a lot to chat about. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. It is Friday. We're so excited it's Friday. I'm glad to be here with you on Friday. You know, a couple weeks from now, we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We will be live there for our live show, and I'm really excited about it. So make sure you join us for that on Friday, October 11th. Friday, October 11th for our next live show at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Before I go to break, though, I do want to play a quick one more clip of the Secret Service director. He has not asked anybody to retire. So remember, he says he's going to hold people accountable. He's not holding anybody accountable. He's full of it. Cut 28.
Represent. And what level of punishment, again, they may face?
So, again, I can't comment on this. This is a personnel matter that is still pending. What I will tell you is that I have not asked for anybody to retire. That was not. I know some of that was reported. That is false. And with respect to the disciplinary process, it will be handled in accordance with our table of penalties. That will be led by the Office of Integrity in coordination with our Office of Professional Responsibility.
I'd like to know why they cremated the body. You know, we're going to have on, hopefully, Mike Kelly, Congressman Mike Kelly. He's the chairman of the committee that's investigating all this. But I'd like to know why they cremated the body of the shooter. I'd like to know why there was no toxicology report. It's the ultimate way to cover up something. If this guy was put there by other people, if he was under the influence of somebody, if he was involved in something, it's gone. It's gone. The body is gone. There's no way to investigate that. So what we're left with now is investigating how it was that they had these communication failures. The body was under the Butler County Coroner's authority. The coroner would have never released Crook's body to the family for cremation or burial without specific permission from the FBI. And how How does that? Why would they? Yeah, burn the body. Get rid of the body. Get rid of it. I'm amazed by that. I really am. I'm amazed. And you're not going to hear any of that today. The FBI also cleaned up biological evidence from the crime scene. I don't know why you would do that. There's a problem here. There's a real problem. And if I'm Donald Trump, I'm very nervous going forward. I really am. I'm very nervous about the situation going forward. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeli. We'll talk about this with Congressman Dan Muser. He's going to be on the show with us in just a few moments. Pennsylvania Congressman. He's got a lot to say about this, I'm sure. And also some of the economic issues facing Pennsylvania. So we'll talk about all that straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah. I was thinking in terms of this accountability factor of the Secret Service, the United States Secret Service. There was a tell today when the acting director said the president of the United States of America has the most robust security in the world. And he talked about United States Secret Service, and he also brought up the military. Then he says Donald Trump has all the same Secret Service resources that the president has, but he left out the military part of it. I'm telling you, there's still an opportunity that some whack job is going to try to exploit here for them. This is not a good situation. Donald Trump does not have the same level of protection that Joe Biden does, despite what he says. He's full of it. He doesn't. He needs to, but they're not involving the military in protecting him. That's the difference, and they should. They should have the United States military involved as well, just like you do with the president of the United States. And the guy was president. He's a former president. It's very likely he's going to be president again. Knock on wood. I hope so. That's for damn sure. And he's running for president. He's a major party nominee. So we've never had a situation like this before in over 100 years. And I don't believe him when he says that the president, Trump, has the same security level as the president of the United States. Where's that cut, Matt? I don't even know which cut that is. I can't even find it here, but here we go.
I have it.
You got it? All right, take a listen to this.
The former president has had robust security around him since he left office. More robust than prior former presidents.
More robust security. Think about that. They had an assassination attempt. It almost killed him, almost hit his head and blew his head off. And then they had a guy poking a gun through the bushes at the golf course. But he's had more robust security than anybody else. Let's keep going with his earlier nonsense about the accountability of the agency. Let's finish with some of that.
At approximately 18:10 and 54 seconds, verified through body camera footage of local law enforcement, officers confront the assailant on the roof of the AGR building. At 18:11:05, by a phone call, a site agent calls the assistant site agent to find out what exactly is going on at the 3 o'clock. And during that call, shots ring out. At 18:11:32, verified through body camera footage, the first series of shots are fired by the assailant. At 18:11:36, again verified through body camera footage, a second series of shots are fired by the assailant. At 18:11:47, through body camera footage, Secret Service counter snipers neutralize the threat. With respect to diligence, line of sight issues were acknowledged, but not properly mitigated. Issues were encountered the day of the visit with respect to line of sight concerns, but they were not escalated to supervisors.
Stop it right there. Stop. So just understand this now. There were line of sight concerns. Line of sight concerns, but they were not elevated to supervisors. Just think about that for a moment. Think about that. You're there to protect Donald Trump, to protect his life. You have concerns about sight lines. But you can't call the supervisor. You know what? It's frustrating. It's like you call up a customer service number. And you get somebody who just does not care, doesn't want to help you. And you go, can I talk to your supervisor? And they go, I am the supervisor. You go, well, then let me talk to somebody above you. And they go, sure. And they put you on hold for 20 minutes and they come back and then it's the same person. They go, yeah, I'm still trying to get you somebody. They are just screwing with you. You know it. I know it. It's the worst, right? It's the worst feeling. They got line of sight issues on protecting the life of the former president of the United States of America, who is the major party candidate for the presidency, but that's not elevated to supervisory level. Matt, can you go back like 20 seconds on that? I want to hear that again and make sure I didn't mishear that because it sounds insane to me.
Footage. The first series of shots are fired by the assailant. At 18:11:36, again verified through body camera footage, a second series of shots are fired by the assailant. At 18:11:47, through body camera footage, Secret Service counter snipers neutralized the threat. With respect to diligence, line of sight issues were acknowledged, but not properly mitigated. Issues were encountered the day of the visit with respect to line of sight concerns, but they were not escalated to supervisors. While some members of the advance team were very diligent, there was complacency on the part of others that led to a breach of security protocols.
Stop it right there. Now that's okay. So complacency on others. Some were diligent and some were complacent. Are those complacent agents going to be immediately fired? No. No, you know that. No chance. No chance. They might be reassigned. Maybe they'll be looking at, you know, counterfeit dollar bills up in Anchorage or something like that. But no, they won't be fired. Should they be fired? You're damn right they should. They were complacent. So let me understand this. I've done presidential events before. I've been at many of them over the years. I've been on advance teams too for candidates, never for a sitting president, but I've been at presidential events. And so you've got now the advance team gets there first. And now the Secret Service is looking around. Some of them have concerns about the lines of sight. Others are complacent. It doesn't get to the supervisor, though. So was there like a disagreement between Agent A and Agent B, and Agent A wants it says there's line of sight issues here. We are not going to be able to see if there's a threat. And Agent B goes, eh. And then they don't go, well, then we need to escalate this. So Agent A doesn't say, I'm going to call my supervisor because we got to get this figured out. They go, okay. So the complacent guy wins? I mean, see, that's what I'm trying to understand here. You got a couple agents on the ground, and some are diligent, some are complacent. Why did the complacent ones win? How come they won out in this issue of line of sight? He's acknowledging they knew there were line of sight issues. He's saying that. He's saying we knew, our agents knew there were line of sight issues in Butler. They knew that. And yet some of them were diligent and others were complacent. Unfortunately, it never got to the level of a supervisor to sort it out. Now, what do you think that supervisor would have said? If somebody had called, if one of those agents had called the supervisor and said, hey, Soup, question for you. We got real concerns that there's some line of sight issues here that we wouldn't be able to see a threat against the former president of the United States of America. And we really think we should do something about that. Do you think the supervisor would have agreed or disagreed? What do you think would have happened there? You listen to this and you go, how is it that a law enforcement agency, a Secret Service, could sound like a friggin' bureaucracy? Just another bureaucracy with people that don't want to be held accountable and are lazy and not doing their job. With the complacent people on the advance team, the agents who were first there, the officers who were there to secure the area and everything else, that those complacent officers should get their asses kicked out of the Secret Service. Obviously, they should not be. Why are we even having this conversation? Some were complacent. All right, keep going.
To accountability, the Mission Assurance Review has identified deficiencies in the advance planning and its implementation by Secret Service personnel. These employees will be held accountable. And this agency has among the most robust table of penalties in the entirety of the federal government.
Oh, scary. Wow. They're going to be held accountable. And there's robust penalties. You're going to lose free lunch Fridays. No more free coffee for you at the breakfast bar. You now have to pay for it. That's right. And you're going to buy your own Post-it notes from now on. Give me a break. None of these guys are going to be held accountable. And he says a shift in paradigm is needed. You know, Congressman Jim Jordan was just on. You know what Congressman Jim Jordan said? He said the paradigm shift should have happened before the second Trump assassination attempt. Exactly right. Because don't forget something. After Butler, we had this guy stick a gun through the bushes at the golf course and almost was able to take a shot at Trump. So what are we waiting for here in terms of a paradigm shift? And you know, the other thing about this that really burns me is that that's another one of those useless, worthless corporate America slogans that you hear all the time, like in this space, or we have a rule in my house because my wife has worked in corporate America. She's not allowed to use any phrases that are ever used in corporate America ever in our house. But that one, we need a paradigm shift. That's a big one. That's a big one you hear in corporate America at board meetings. This company needs a paradigm shift. What does that mean? I don't know. And they go about the Stephen Covey and the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and what a paradigm is and how we do a paradigm shift. And this is a freaking law enforcement agency. You don't need a paradigm shift. You need to protect your protectees. And maybe that includes, if there's a line of sight issue, you deal with the line of sight issue. If that includes the idea that you don't have communications where somebody's got to call the counter sniper team because there's a guy on a roof with a gun. And by the time the counter sniper team gets the call, the guy's already taken 2 shots at Trump until the threat is neutralized. Hey, buddy, I got news for you. That's not a threat at that point. That's an assassin at that point. The threat is when he hasn't pulled the trigger yet. But you didn't neutralize the threat. You neutralized him after he had taken shots. And by the grace of God, Trump turned his head. But let's hear about the paradigm shift here from the acting Secret Service Director, Ronald Rowe. Cut 27.
The findings of the Mission Assurance Review have prompted the Secret Service to move into the accountability phase of this process.
Accountability phase.
The Office of Professional Responsibility and the Office of Integrity are reviewing the findings. And as a result of these failures, what has become clear to me is we need a shift in paradigm and how we conduct our protective operations. As was demonstrated on Sunday in West Palm Beach, the threat level is evolving and requires this paradigm shift.
Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop, 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 stop. You know, if I could understand this idea, the threat level's evolving, and we need a paradigm shift. If, say, Lincoln hadn't been assassinated and McKinley and Kennedy and Reagan hadn't been shot and 2 people that didn't try to kill Gerald Ford and a guy didn't try to crash a plane into the White House and the Iranians or the Iraqis didn't try to kill W. I mean, I could understand a paradigm shift if none of those things had ever happened before. Like if this was a one-off, like, whoa, we didn't, this is in our nation's history, this is the first time that a guy took a shot at a presidential candidate. I mean, I can understand that if Robert F. Kennedy Jr., or Sr., excuse me, had not been killed, shot at when he was running for president of the United States of America, I could understand the Secret Service saying, it's time for a paradigm shift. Suddenly now we have presidential assassinations occurring and assassinations of major party candidates. Dude, are you kidding me? Did you just get here? Have you not read a history book? Like, have you heard of John Wilkes Booth? Have you heard of Lee Harvey Oswald? Not that I'm saying Lee Harvey Oswald necessarily acted alone. I'm just saying, have you heard the name? Have you heard the name John Hinckley Jr.? Have you heard the name Jodie Foster? I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying, have you heard the motivation, the muse for John Hinckley Jr.? Have you heard that at least? How about Squeaky Frome? Have you heard the name Squeaky Frome? She got shots off of Gerald Ford. Have you, like, what a paradigm shift? What? Okay. All right. Maybe I'm getting a little fired up over this. I'm just saying. Sounds to me like maybe what you don't need is a paradigm shift. You need a history book. And you could just go to, or just Google, ask Alexa. But tell me the history of presidential assassinations and assassination attempts and assassinations of major party candidates. And she can go through the whole list and you can go, maybe it's the paradigm shift would be okay if it was like, you know, this whole them trying to whack a president thing, brand new, just happened, 2024. Pfft, who knew? Them trying to kill a candidate? Pfft. I mean, this is new to all of us. We're all trying to react to this new reality here. But man, I tell you, we didn't see this coming. Am I right? Am I right? I mean, never in our nation's history before have we ever had this. A whack job on a roof trying to take a shot at a president or a presidential candidate. I mean, whew. Now we got to figure this whole thing out and start from scratch. The threat level is evolving. The threat level's evolving. Dude, the first president got assassinated in the 1860s. The threat level's evolving. All right. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. If you'd like to weigh in today on everything we are discussing, I got a lot of stuff to say here today. I'm fired up over this. We're gonna get more audio of this too for you. But I do want to tell you, as we begin what is a Friday and my blood pressure is already up, that it was great to see my friend Judith Krupnik the other night. And I want to thank Steve Feldman and the Greater ZOA Chapter of Philadelphia, Zionist Organization of America. Steve Feldman did a great job with that event. And they honored Judith Krupnik with the Pillar of the Community Award. And they honored Dom Giordano and I. And it was a wonderful night. I was honored to be there. Really great reception. Well, Judith deserves the accolades and she deserves the recognition because relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. And I say that all the time. What her rabbi said about her when he spoke was Judith Krupnik always does the right thing. That's what she believes. And I say that about her all the time, too. And she's, you know, adopted three kids. So we have this adoptive parent bond. She's just a good person and she does the right thing for her customers. And right now they have this incredible back to school offer from Cherry Hill Volvo. You can have a 36-month lease on a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 made in America at their plant in South Carolina for only $369 a month. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception, except if you get the C40, which is the electric car, there's no taxes on that in New Jersey. And that lease is $369 a month for 36 months. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team at Cherry Hill Volvo would love to meet you, love to see you, and they would love to be there to help you every step of the way. And whether it's the S-Class you want, or it's the XC40, XC60, or what we drive, the XC90, that third row family car, ton of cargo space, and it looks beautiful. And if you got kids, don't get a minivan. The story the other day, the death of the minivan. Good riddance. Don't drive a minivan. If you're a dad, you never look cool driving a minivan. I'm just telling you. Just take my word for it. Everybody's laughing at you. But if you drive the XC90, that's a beautiful looking family car with all the space you need and all the technology too. But get it at Cherry Hill Volvo. They're our studio sponsor. Cherry Hill Volvo is where relationships matter. They prove that every single day at Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I didn't mean to be this fired up on a Friday. By the way, Justin, you're doing a great job with the music, but you don't have to just kill it right when I start talking. You can pot it down a little bit.
Yeah, no, I was doing three different things at once, and I heard you talk, and that was
my bad. Sorry. Thank you for doing three different things at once. I don't know what the hell you guys are doing there. I have no idea how the show is produced or run. I don't care. I do care, and I should say thank you. I'm not going to, but I should. Thank you to the both of you.
We appreciate your incredibly hard work.
And by the both of you, I mean Justin and Kirk, who's not here today. Certainly not Matt DeSantis. Can we put the camera on you guys? No, can we?
I can't figure out anything with this
stream. Oh, come on, Matt.
So the answer is no.
The ladies want to see you.
Well,
you got your stupid Harvard hat on today. He's literally got a hat on that says an H on it.
It could mean anything. It could just mean hat.
You got a hat that says hat?
Yeah.
An H?
It's meaningless.
Justin, what do you think that H means on his head if he went to Harvard? How would you interpret that, Justin?
I could be home. It could be.
Justin, don't side with
him. It's Friday.
Justin makes some good points.
I think you guys should come on camera so everybody can see you.
We don't have that feature.
Two fine-looking gentlemen, handsome men, well, handsome
that
devils.
Is true.
There's
that
a camera in here, but it's not queued up in.
And there's Henry. Ask Henry. Ask Henry how to get in here. Just wave him in. Wave him in. Come here.
Henry.
Come on, Henry.
Rich,
can you help us?
You.
Can you help us here, Henry? We need your help.
You can't hear anything right now. He has to plug in a headset.
All right, hang on. Plug in a headset. We're going to get you to help. By the way, I'm going to get into Kamala Harris's word salads. She tossed a lot of word salads last night. I'm going to get into all those, and we are going to spend a lot of time on that.
With the dump button already.
Oh, that reminds me. Happy birthday to my friend Greg DeMichelle, my real estate attorney, also a divorce attorney. Great guy, DeMichelle and DeMichelle. I've known Greg for a long time. He is the greater DeMichelle. I also know his brother Rick. But DeMichelle and DeMichelle, happy birthday, Greg. Hope you have a wonderful day, buddy. Enjoy the day. Have a bourbon on me at Tavi. Since I'm not a member, I can't buy it for you, but have a bourbon on one of the other of the many idiots who will be having bourbon with you tonight, I'm sure. All right. Henry, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Rich. Great to see you, too.
You're doing great as Dom's new producer.
Oh, thank you.
Whatever you are. How can I get the camera on these guys so that people could see them when I talk to them?
I just have to ask Austin, but I know there are other... You know, other shows have that camera in there if you just wanted to go to it.
What do you mean?
But it would say, like, Kale and Company on it instead of the Rich Zeoli show.
Well, I don't want to Kale and Company.
Like, I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
but when you were here, we used to show you and Matt all the time.
Right, but we ran a different software program.
Oh, okay.
This is a whole big production.
Everything's a big production around here.
Yeah.
So basically, you're going to have to use your imagination as to what Matt and Justin look like.
That, or you could ask, you know, some of the tech guys, like, hey, can we get a package in here for the studio?
We need a package.
Yeah.
I got to get you a package right here. Okay. Henry, great job in Cape May, by the way. You going to come
Thank
back
you.
And hang out with us on October 11th?
Oh, sure. Is that the next one?
That's the next one.
Sure. I'd be down.
You're in.
All right. Sweet.
I mean, I don't have the authority to say you're in, but... From my perspective, as the host of the show you're in, I'd love to have you there.
Oh, it'd be great.
Be great.
Might have to work, though.
Yeah.
That whole job thing puts a snag in.
And isn't it amazing how, and I talked about this with Jimmy Failey yesterday, how people just bring us alcohol during the show?
Oh, it's amazing.
It's great, right?
Well, they more bring you alcohol and then you pass it to me.
I was doing some of that, too, trying to not get drunk on the air.
Yeah.
And I love it because everyone is so generous, coming up going, can I get you a drink? Can I get you a drink? And some people just got me a drink. And then got me another drink, and so I would slide it over to Henry. Yeah. So
it's the trickle-down effect.
Yeah, well said. We'll be there October 11th at the Grand Hotel. Thanks, Henry. Appreciate your help, even though you really didn't solve the problem, but still, nevertheless.
I give you a solution. It's just not going to be today.
It's just not going to be today. That's all.
Yeah, no big maybe thing. Next week.
It's no big whoop. All right, 4 o'clock hour coming up. Kamala Harris's word salad. You got to hear my analysis of this. Plus, the acting Secret Service director takes questions. These questions are a mess. I should say the answers are a mess. You have to hear this. I'm going to break it down for you, all of it. There are serious questions about Donald Trump's safety. I, for one, do not feel confident this man is going to get the protection that he needs, that he requires. We'll talk about it straight ahead.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.